Welcome to the Music Career Show, telling you the stories of the world's best professional musicians.
Hello there and welcome to the Music Career Show. My name is Barry and every week I'll be speaking with incredible musicians from all over the world about how they've honed their craft and made a career out of doing what they love the most. If you're a new listener, then while you still have your device in your hand, please take a second to subscribe and tell your friends all about
Hello there and welcome back to the Music Career Show. Today's guest is a traditional Irish musician all the way from Kilfenora in County Clare. She has toured the world with Riverdance and she even once played a gig for Steven Spielberg, as well as her uncle owning Father Ted's house. So, this is the lovely Tara Howley. Hello, Tara. How are you getting on? Are you well?
I am very well, thank you. How are you? I never actually asked you how you were in all those times.
Ah, sure, Jez. Look, you know yourself. How would you be well? How would you be well? How would you be well in your arse in two halves, anyway?
Huh? Old stones in my shoes, tisses in the garden, all sorts of shit. Rain and wet and mucky.
You
old
have
walk.
That.
She'd have that, for sure, anyway. Anyway, we started off the last recording by speaking about, I can't remember how we actually got onto the topic, but we're going to manufacture the topic now, that your uncle owns Father Ted's house. Mm-hmm. What's the story there? Explain that to us again now, or for the first time.
So my uncle owns Father Ted's house, and he lives in it with his wife, and they have five kids. And it's my mum's brother. So my granddad, Lord rest him, was in the over 75s football episode. And a lot of our cousins and family and friends are in the show, and it was filmed, some of it was filmed in Kilfenora, which is where I'm from. And you can actually see our house if any Father Ted fans are listening. You know the one with the milk, almond the milk. you're an OG fan, you're a good fan.
Yeah.
You can see our house from that.
Which one is it?
So there's like the estate of houses on the left when like the milk float is like, you know, about to burst and they're trying to take all the cardboard boxes off the road.
Yeah.
We're like down, I can't explain it now, but like there's like a green hedge and that's our house.
I am literally going to, as soon as we're finished here, I'm going to go inside and I'm going to watch Father Ted and I am going to send you a photo of your house. It sounds, that's not meant to be as creepy as that sounds, but that
I'm going to look at your house and I'm going to find it and I'm going to send it.
Exactly, yeah. I'm going to be like that guy on TikTok, Jose Monkey. Have you ever watched him?
No.
Where he like finds people. So people will take a video of themselves in the middle of nowhere and he'll find them in the world. It's class. It sounds creepy, but he's like, hi, my name is Jose Monkey and I find people who ask to be found. So you're like,
they've asked to be found.
Yeah. He mitigates all creepiness, but at the same time, I mean, but that's amazing. What about like so? You were saying there that your granddad was in the over 75s indoor football challenge, and who else of your family was anyone else that was? Do you know what I mean?
Patrick was the robber.
The robber.
Yeah. See, there's an episode now that you don't know. You'll have to go back and find that one.
The robber. What did he rob?
My cousin was the baby that was left at the door.
Amazing.
Yeah. Who else was in it? There's a lot of extras that were used, like a lot of extras that didn't have parts, but they were in the pub and during the Lovely Ladies competition and
That's class.
That's
fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. Anyway, we're getting completely and utterly off topic here.
Right.
So that's all good stuff. I have no idea who the robber is.
No.
Who's the robber? What episode was this?
Come on, you'll have to go back and find out.
I'm literally going to go and rewatch all of Father Ted today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get back. As well as
half
sending you a photo.
Five in the morning and you'll be like,
As well as sending you a photo of your house, I'm like, this is your cousin. And he's been to that house.
And he robbed it.
Do you know what I mean? He robbed it. Anyway.
Do you remember when they were going on holidays and they left the door open and the house
stopped?
And
Dougal had the Shamu on the back of the trailer.
Yeah.
And he brought the travel Scrabble for when they were traveling and the actual Scrabble for when they got there. Yes. Love it.
I think Dougal is like my alter ego.
Incidentally, did you bring any tea bags?
Yeah.
No. Right.
Okay. Right.
We'll
love eggs so much that one day I think I'm going to turn into one big egg.
My
that process has already started, Dougal.
My Snapchat name, right, when Snapchat was to the thing, was Eggman Barry for that reference. I love eggs so much.
Ted, I love eggs. I love eggs so much that I think that one day I'm going to turn into one big egg.
Not sure if that process hasn't already begun. Oh, fuck it. Let's just talk about Father Ted. Oh, amazing. Anyway, so
For anybody, I know this is great. I've got literally like a page of like talking points that we're not going to get to at all because we're just going to be chatting about Father Ted. It's great. So anyway, getting back to music and stuff. Mm-hmm. If anyone's interested in that bit of it,
best bits over.
Exactly. So, Tara, for those that are maybe getting introduced to you for the first time, haven't come across you yet, why don't you say hello to the lovely people and tell them who you are and what you're about?
Well, hello, lovely ladies, men, women, and children.
Don't call me a lovely girl. I've sold 20 million records.
Oh, we'll have to stitch this episode where I have sold 20 million records. And
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There you go. That's the one.
So I am a full-time musician, singer-songwriter from County Clare. And I grew up in a place called Kilfenora. And we're just surrounded by traditional music all our life. My two older sisters, Eimear and Sharon, they both play music as well. They're amazing. And my parents both play and sing and dance. And we just grew up in a house, of song and dance. And it was like from the day I can remember, it was just music, dance, song. You know, we got this really cool stereo kind of a system, like a CD player stereo thing. Mm. And it was like, that was the biggest flex. You know, I was like, oh my God, we are like so cool. But everyone, you know what? It was class because it had this rotating CD player. So you could have three CDs in at the same time. Do you remember them?
I do. Yeah, I do.
They were the bomb.
Yeah.
So like one CD was like classical music, the other was like trad, and then the other would be like Stevie Wonder.
Class. So it was like such an eclectic mix.
Yeah, it was like, and that's why, like, I think growing up, I always had such an interest in like Ella Fitzgerald, Stevie Wonder, B.B. King. It was like all of these artists that like no one would have ever heard of because YouTube and Google and stuff wasn't a thing on people's phones now where like, you know, if you find out about a new artist, you're like, oh, Instagram. Oh, mm-hmm. You know, that. Oh, this, that, the other. Whereas back then it wasn't even like, even going onto YouTube was a fiasco, you know, on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
You had to go onto a computer, you know. This is back when there were like laptops. Like I got my first laptop when I was I'm 29. So I got my first laptop when I was I didn't have one in primary school. I think it was like second grade.
You were doing well to have.
No, I didn't. I had a phone. I had a Nokia. I got it for our confirmation. We got our phones.
Yep. That was it. What did you get? A Nokia 3200.
Yeah, or 3210, I think.
You might have been a 3210. You're a year or two younger than me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mine was a 3200 that you could, like, change the cases.
Oh, no, you could change the skin of the inside of it. I had the one where there was, like, two buttons. Like three and six were on the same button. So there's only, like, four buttons on the phone. Do you remember that one? So, like, one and three were on the same button, two and four. And then you could change the color of the inside of the skin. I'm gonna get the one and send it to you. Yeah.
That's, like... People listening and young people listening now will not understand and appreciate just how futuristic that is.
I know. Do you know what? To be fair, if the iPhones came with an interchangeable skin that you could actually buy different, not just a phone case now, I mean, like, they were so cool. And the battery life lasted for about, like...
A month.
It's still on.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I guarantee if I was to still find my old phone, there'd still be a bit of charge in it. Bit of charge. Do you hear me? I'm sounding like my granny. Is there any charge in that phone?
Is there any charge in that phone? Yeah. And then the text messages, you know, you get like, you get your tenner. A tenner would do you. Like, it would be a tenner credit you get.
Tenner credit, yeah. And that would get you, if you were 085, you could text each other for free.
For free, yeah.
And that was absolutely, that was game.
It was Meteor.
Meteor, yeah. I don't know. Is Meteor still a thing anymore?
I don't know if it's I don't know. I mean, I still call it Meteor. I think it's 3 now. I don't know what it is. Is it? Or is 3086? I don't know.
I live in Scotland, so I've not had an 08 number for like 10 years nearly. But 3 was 083. 02 was 086.
086.
Vodafone was 087 was
Tesco
Vodafone.
Tesco was 089.
Yeah. Tesco was 089. There was an 08.
083.
083 was 3.
083 was 3, you're right.
Yeah, that's how you knew it was 3, because it was
083.
And 085 was Meteor.
085 was Meteor, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think there was any more.
02 was 086.
Yeah. 02 was 086, yeah.
That's what, like, every parent had. Well,
that's my dad's number.
Yeah, 086, yeah.
086, yeah. And like,
Vodafone was kind of like, you were cool. Like, I always thought I wanted to have a cool Vodafone number. So I remember I had an 087 number because, like, I just thought that was cool.
Yeah. I still remember my first 085 number, 085-152-5852. Still remember it.
I still remember the guy that I had the biggest, I was obsessed with him. I still know his number. I won't say it because it's actually still his number.
Do it.
No, I won't say it.
Who is it? Hello to him.
His name is Kevin.
Hi, Kev.
I'm going to send him this podcast. Lovely guy. But I told him about it. I was like, I know your number. Like, this is now when it was like an exceptional amount of viewers to move on from. I was like, I know your mobile number. And he was like,
hi, I'm Tara Howley. And I find people who ask to be found.
But the start of it was like, it went 086-085. That's all I'll say. But I thought that was the coolest number ever.
That is literally like, you could sell that.
Yeah.
You can still sell that, and lads like us, like 90s kids like us, would buy that and like frame it. It'd be like
that was pretty sick though, wasn't it? 086-085.
That's savage. That'd be like what do they call that? Like an NPC, you know, where people buy like like images that are just like, oh, that's the original one. Great.
That's the number. Yeah.
Like Bitcoin, but
do you know what? Everything was so innocent then. Like, as in, like the biggest thing you did was like learn off somebody's number. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I really hope that like kids still have some sort of a innocent childhood, because we were all so innocent. Like, I don't know what's because we were in a country school, but I just think there wasn't like, we were genuinely just, everything was so like, God love us.
I know. Do you remember? Do you remember? I've got like a vivid. We're totally not talking about music at all on this, and it's great. Do you have like? I've got a vivid memory of one particular day down by the canal when I was like 14, and there was like maybe 4 or 5 pictures, and that was a huge amount at the time on a digital camera that made their way onto Bebo.
Yeah,
and they exist out there in the Bebo verse. Do you have like a memory of that? Like, I specifically remember that.
Oh my God, Bebo.
Yeah.
Bebo was like the serotonin from getting a love on Bebo. Somebody would give you their love. Yeah. You get 3 loves and you're like, I was somebody's love today. Wow.
I am in someone's top 4 friends.
Yeah. I got an arrow that says bestie.
I know.
The one good at music. The sporty one. Yeah. The one that likes shopping. Shopaholic. And do you remember that arrow then that came out that you put in the middle of like your top 16, and it had like not just up down, it had like arrow up pointing to whoever that was, arrow down, left, right, but then it had like northwest, like
exit. Yeah.
That was when you knew, like you were aiming all your friends, like you're like, I'm in so and so's top 16, like,
wow. Yeah,
I do. But it was great. We never bought it, like you couldn't bring it to school because no one had it on their phone. It was like, you know, it was only the evening time, and half the people couldn't even go on the internet in the evening because their parents would be on the phone, and it was all dial-up connection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God, so sorry. Can you see that? It looks like I have no arm here, right? Because of the light.
Oh my God. Yeah, it does. It's like, that's a very nifty little party trick. So it is.
Hi. Guys, come and see my shows. I talk like this for most of them. The music's good, but you know, the chatting's better.
You come for the music, but you stay for the crack.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. This is turning into such a wholesome little episode. This is great. So you started playing music anyway. Yeah.
So Tara, focus on what you do with your life in the music career podcast. Talk about music.
Listen, I could talk about Bebo and Father Ted and all that stuff all day. So I could, and happily.
And a good pot of bacon and cabbage. That was your 4 days dinner.
That was your 4 days dinner. And you had ham sandwiches then in the interim.
Yeah.
That was the way that is still the way it should be, 100%.
It still is the way here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when it comes Christmas time, you've got inventive things like turkey curry.
Oh, just cause you got the Oriental when the turkey curry came out, you know, 100%. Day 77 of the Christmas
day
dinner.
Day 77. Yeah, you're still having it on Paddy's Day. right. Let's go back to a bit of music here now. What was your first instrument then that you started playing? So you were saying that you there was loads of music growing up in the house, and you had the fancy CD changer while everyone was still listening to music in black and white. Yous were all fucking. And you started getting into music. What was that first instrument that you picked up?
And the violin or the fiddle. Yeah.
Violin or fiddle.
So
I'll
actually send you a photo if you want to edit it in. There's a really cute photo of me when I was like, I think I was 3 or 4. And it's like this tiny little fiddle. It's like this, like literally this size. It's so cute. And yeah, I started on that. And like I said, my 2 sisters play. So there was just music like every day of the week, you know. And because there's 5 years between myself and my oldest sister. So she was already playing trad and classical at that stage. So then we went to Tin Whistle lessons at the same time. So we were doing like classical kind of violin, trad, Tin Whistle, and then started on the piano, doing, you know, the basic bits in the piano, classical. And then in trad, I started, so I did fiddle and Tin Whistle for about till I was maybe six. And then when I was seven, I started the concertina. No, I think I was maybe six. No, I was seven, I think. No, I was six. I was six. I was definitely six. I was the seniors.
Jesus.
Started the concertina. And then I was eight when I won my first All-Ireland under 15.
Wow. Yeah. Well under 15.
Yeah, very much large amount under 15.
Yeah.
Really so easy. It was with a group of Ceolas. So there was 20 of us. So for, you know, the Slack Ceolas.
Yeah.
For anyone not familiar with them, it's like a big competition. You've got your regional, provincial, and then the All-Ireland. But we were in a group of Ceolas and it was the Burren group of Ceolas. And I was eight and I was playing the concertina, the mouth organ, and the drum, well, the clog. So the clog and the Cayley drum set is like this little wooden, let me see if I have anything the size of it here. It's like a little bit bigger than this, right?
Yeah,
wooden clog. And there's just like a little adjust, like a little attachment like that. And the clog sits onto it. So at a music stand, right? So this is a true story. There was a music stand brought up on the stage. The clog was attached to the music stand. And for the second part of these tunes, I was playing the clog. Drumsticks down, playing the harmonica, playing the concertina. It's great crack.
Jesus Christ. Fair play to you. I've never heard of the clog. That's a new one on me now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's part of the, you'll hear it in Cayley band drumming a lot. There's the snare drum. So Cayley drums, because I'm a drummer as well. I'm a kit drummer, but I also play Cayley drums. So the Cayley drums basically is just your bass drum, your snare, and then a clog.
Right.
And then some bands, some Cayley bands then will have like a hi-hat just to have them, you know, beat or whatever. And a pedal.
Pretty good. So what? How many instruments do you play then?
14.
Right, go on. Let's have them.
Fiddle, concertina, mouth organ, drums, piano, pipes, flute.
Flute.
Tin whistle.
Tin whistle.
Viola.
Viola.
Banjo.
Banjo.
Mandolin.
Mandolin.
Saxophone.
Saxophone.
What else do I play?
Guitar.
Guitar, yeah. Guitar, not bass, no. Guitar and what else do I play? What did I just do in the chat?
Ukulele. There you go. 14. Fantastic. And you don't play bass?
No, I know. Disappointing.
You're missing out on 50. You're missing out on, like, it's just one string at a time. Just save.
I know.
There you go. I've now bestowed upon you a ride as our bass player.
Triangle.
Yeah. Why not?
The bones.
Yeah. Spoons, the bones, the whole lot. Yeah, yeah.
This is the bodrum.
What?
This is the bodrum.
Do you play tenor or five string or plectrum banjo?
Just a tenor banjo, yeah.
Just a tenor banjo, Grant. It's the same as the mandolin, yeah. I always claim to be a mandolin player when I'm, in fact, I just play guitar. And from playing guitar, you can play a million different other things. So I'm just like, look at me, I'm great. I tried to play the five string banjo and it was too much to get my head around because I still struggle to remember the names of the fucking strings on a ukulele, never mind that. And so I was just like, no, I'll just stick to the four string. I can do that. But that's great. So did you get lessons in all of these or did you just pick up, like, how does, for someone out there asking, wanting to know, how does one person learn 14 instruments?
So I got lessons on the fiddle, the concertina, the pipes, Tin Whistle, flute. What else did I get lessons on? Piano, did I say piano?
Yeah.
And then the banjo, mandolin, same fingers and the same notes as the fiddle, same strings. So I just taught myself that. Didn't go to lessons on it, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it or not, but I actually just played banjo on a new track for the Two Johnnies. Stay tuned.
Did you?
Yeah. I know if I'm allowed to say that, but I didn't say what track it was, you know, allegedly.
Well,
you ever see that stuff in the Graham Norton show and they're like, allegedly?
Allegedly, yeah. My bandmate Callum says that the funniest thing that you can do in life is put allegedly after any sentence.
Yeah, allegedly.
So you could take anything, like you could, yeah, literally, and just
allegedly.
Say, yeah.
Allegedly.
Hi, I'm Tara, and I find people that ask be found.
Allegedly.
You could knock Savage crack out of that.
Yeah.
You could absolutely knock Savage crack out of that.
So the rest of the instruments then, saxophone, it was only a couple of years ago I really kind of took that up. Same with electric guitar. Guitar, taught myself. Aidan Coyne has a great course as well, so plug that for him. It's a great dad gag course on trad guitar. And what else? Viola, yeah, similar to the fiddle. It's just a couple, the strings are different, but the
bassing is probably a bit off.
I was, as I said, you know, I was definitely privileged. We were, you know, and I don't want this to come across as like everyone needs to, you know, do all this. Like, we were in a position where our parents could afford musical instruments and afford lessons, and that is something that I'm very grateful for, and I'm also very aware that not every family is in that position. So I always want to, you know, say that and never come across as like, you know, more people should be playing music, you know. And we don't, you know, everyone has different circumstances and situations, but I think it's fantastic now there are so much more funding for instruments, and there's a lot more opportunity now for kids and adults to learn, because, you know, when we were growing up, there wasn't music in. And I was just playing for a corporate group the other day, and they were saying, you know, was there a music scheme in your school? And I was like, no, like, our parents would drive us, and it wasn't like sport, where most local, you know, areas had a football pitch that you could just go and train there in. Like, our music was half an hour to 40 minutes to an hour and a half away, you know, because there just wasn't that many teachers, you know. Which has changed so much now. It's fantastic. It really is. And there's a lot more funding, and people can rent out instruments, and because instruments aren't cheap, you know, they're not.
No, jizz, they're not.
And lessons aren't cheap, and diesel isn't cheap, you know, like, everything is. It's not just the lessons, it's the driving to the lessons, it's the waiting. And you know, dad was employed, and you know, he had his own business, so he was able to, you know, close up whenever he wanted, essentially, and was able to, you know, if something came up, or and we'd a B&B at home, so mom at the B&B. So we were definitely lucky that they kind of focused everything around us, and everything they did was essentially for us. And you know, that's something that I just hope that I can hopefully give back, and you know, fly out to the Bahamas for a nice little holiday for themselves. So thank you.
You will. You'll figure it out. You'll get a busman's holiday out of it, or something along those. Be roadies or something like that.
Yeah. Well, they're
But like real roadies, you can real tax roadies. Whatever you want to call it. But that's great. That's absolutely fantastic. So it doesn't sound like you were ever really going to be anything else but a musician.
And it's the one thing that I'm like, you know, I liked school. But it was never something that I just couldn't. All I could do was play music. I always had headphones in. I shouldn't be saying this, but I'll be honest. I just couldn't go like a whole day in school without listening to music. So I used to have, you know, headphones, and I had big, long, like brown hair. So like, I'd have my iPod in secondary school, which totally wasn't allowed. But I had my iPod and headphones, and like, like our collars for our jumpers kind of came up like this. So you'd have the wire underneath your jumper and the whole lot, and I'd be listening to. A very fun memory I have is listening to a Taylor Swift song called White Horse. And I used to look out the window, and I was like, God, I'd love to be just like, you know, singing my songs and like playing my music all over the world. And like, I swear to God, like, I thought back to that the other day, and I was like, I wish I could go back and tell Tara in second year that like she would be doing everything that she so desperately dreamed of, you know, so it melancholic is. Looking out the window of a school and in this time and a kid declaring being like, I want to be
an artist.
Thinking you were in a music video looking out the window.
Yeah, when it was raining, you know, like, and like that song White Horse is so dramatic, you know, and like, it's, that was a theme song for about that whole year for me.
Well, don't worry about admitting that you were listening to music, because when I was in secondary school, I went on a competition on RT, and I was lucky enough to get to the top 10, and I played guitar. It was called The Guitar, something like that, and it was a competition to find, I don't know, the best underage guitar player in Ireland. Yeah, no, I got to the top 10. I was actually only thinking about this morning. I don't know why, what brought it up, but anyway, so I did. But they interviewed you. And the prize was a Rory Gallagher Fender Strat back when that was brand new. So this is what, 15 years ago. And they interviewed you, and they were like, so what does music mean to you? And or something like that. And I was like, oh, music's everything. Like, I play music all day. I listen to music all day. I don't even do my homework or nothing. I just come home and I play guitar. And then when I went into school then the next day, and they're like, ah, so all you're missing homework where was that then? You just don't do it. Is that right? And I was like, well, look, you know what I mean? I was trying to win the Fender Strat. Exactly. And I was just like, everyone knew that I had no interest in being in school. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then the whole way through my life, I tried to be a real person and get like do real jobs and stuff like that. But I was just useless at everything. Did you try and do like real jobs? Whenever I speak about this, I always feel like I'm coming across being very condescending to the people that have those real jobs.
No.
I'm really not meaning it.
No, and I totally understand what you mean, because you're saying that because as an artist, that idea just is so, it's so far removed from what we do and what we're the best at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, like, I knew, so I did my leaving cert and didn't get primary teaching, so I repeated, and because I just thought that primary teaching was what I had to do because you're a musician and you do primary teaching, you've got the summers off and it's a pensionable job and you have your job and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like, mm-hmm. I had absolutely zero interest in it. And I mean that, like, I love teaching. Now, don't get me wrong. I love teaching, but I love music. I love teaching music, you know, mm-hmm. like, but I, the results came out then, you know, I got it and I repeat and I got it and then, oh, great. You know, but then I was like, like, I don't know, is it for me? Like, so I took a year out and I said, look, I'll just dive into the music now. So I was gigging 5 or 6 nights a week. I was gigging 6 nights a week. And then I double gigs on Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays. So
a double gig of a Wednesday?
Yeah. So there was wedding every Wednesday in the hotel. There's midweek deals. Yeah. So a lot of Americans were getting married on Wednesdays because it was a lot cheaper to come have your wedding, a smaller wedding in Hotel Doolin. So there used to be double weddings or a double gig. There's always a double gig midweek. It could be Wednesday or Thursday, but so I played all around Doolin. So Tuesday was McGann's, Wednesday was hotel, Thursday was North Dermot's, Friday was a hotel, Saturday was a hotel, Sunday was a hotel, and then double gigs. Yeah, so it was like, it was, and I loved it. When I told you I loved it, I was like, love it. I was in my element, got to bring the instrument to the gigs. Some people would be like, oh, I'm so burnt out, but I was like, no, this is it. This is how I know. Like, obviously, like anything, there's going to be days where you're tired and whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But like, I knew I was where I was supposed to be. And then I did my first album and I started playing for different tour groups and corporate groups and stuff like that. And then like those people that followed me back then still follow me now. And stuff like that. Like, it's just building up that, you know, following from the States from 2014 on, well, even earlier, I suppose, because I was gigging at the weekends, even all through school, like from TY on, I was gigging Friday, Saturdays.
It's great the way that works in Ireland, isn't it? You go anywhere else in the world and you think, how were you gigging at 15? It's like, I don't know, I went into the pub and asked for a gig.
Yeah, and you got your gig and they loved it. You loved it and, you know.
Yeah. And they loved it as well because they could pay you, fuck all.
Yeah.
And if you were anywhere useful, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a win-win.
You get your, you know, you get your bit of food after, you'll be delighted. Well, no, in fairness, we were always paid as well. I have to say that. We were always looked after and paid and everything. And but it's funny, like it's, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the going for a job, like I knew whatever I had to do, I had to, you know, I didn't want to be a hypocrite and like tell people like, no, look, you have to be yourself. And like, you know, for me, I wasn't doing myself justice by not actually giving myself at least a chance to try, you know. And again, a disclaimer, I'm very lucky that my parents supported that decision. And if you're listening to this and you're 15 or 16 or 17 and your parents aren't supporting it, you know, I totally empathize with that because I couldn't imagine what my life would be like if it was like, no, you're doing this and then you can do your music after, you know. But I loved it and I worked hard. And that's the other thing I'll say. Like, I worked so hard. Like, you know, and I think anyone that does something that they love, it's not just a case of like, oh, this is easier because I don't have to go to college. You know, I was like, no, it's actually harder because you're the whole time trying to, you know, learn new stuff, learn new songs, you know, practice a prop. You know what I mean? Like it's
totally. You never switch off.
No.
You never, ever, ever switch off. No. Doing something you love is great. Like I'm a music teacher. I teach music out of my little studio here and I gig and stuff. I don't gig anywhere near as much as I used to anymore because I work so much during the week and I just don't have the love that I did for before. But I still never switch off. Like I was, it's midterm holidays over here in Scotland, and I was off all last week, and I felt guilty about being off. Couldn't switch off. Couldn't just decide. No, I'm not going to think about that one thing that I want to do on Canva to upload to my Facebook. Do you know what I mean? You can't not think about
it. I know. You have that guilt then because you're self-employed and you're like...
Self-employed, exactly.
You're doing over and you take a holiday and people are like, oh, she isn't as well as for you. And you're just like, shut up, please.
I know. It's not... It's grand to a point. And like, you don't mind it. You don't mind it. But it's not like if you were a teacher, for example, and you have your holidays and as soon as Friday afternoon comes and you've got those 2 weeks off, the kids can paddle their own canoe. You don't need to think about it. It's not like that when you're self-employed.
And
that was
really good point. Same with creating content as well. You know, it's like it's very you know, people see a video that took 15 seconds, but like for that 15 seconds, you know, sometimes the video might only take you 10 minutes, but like you have to upload it at the right time. And like, I'm not going to be one of these people. I feel like this is going to be a video that'll be stitched on TikTok and it'll be like, oh my God, the poor girl, she spent time editing her video and, you know, I'm here working 7 jobs. And then you're like, you know, but all I'm saying is that it is, it's time consuming. And any musician and artist that has their social media, that's our work as well. You know, like, it's not just about getting likes for an ego thing. It's like, the more shares you get, the more people know your music, the more people can come to your shows, the more people can buy tickets to see you, the more people who hear your name. You know, it's a business. You know, it is, and you're a brand, you know.
Totally. This is something that I spoke about towards the end of the first season of the Music Career Show. I spoke about this an awful lot with my guests, that the lines are so blurred in 23. I don't know when we'll be listening to this. If we're listening to this in 2023, if we're listening to it in 24, if you're listening to it in 2030, I'd love to know how the lines have blurred even more. But from when we started, when I started gigging, it was what, 2009, maybe? It's 2010, make it like nice and round, right? In 2010, all you had to do was you might take out the camcorder at a practice session once a year, and that was your promo for the following year, and that was grand. That was all he needed. You just needed a little link on YouTube to send to people, or even if going back, maybe a DVD or a CD was probably the thing, and you'd drop that in, and that was grand. Nowadays, and that was it. That was your job done. It didn't have to be great. It just needed to show that you and the boys could play, and you had to play Mr. Brightside and Sex on Fire, and that was it. That was you. You were done. Nowadays, the lines are so blurred between if you're a musician, you also have to be a content creator. You have to be your own manager. You have to be, there's so many hats that you wear that just, those roles just simply didn't exist back in 2010 and have now, like right now, you're talking to me on a podcast because it's going to, this is part of your work. This is only going to help you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of thing. So you have to be ready for interviews that didn't exist 10 years ago, five, six, 7 years ago. Yeah. It didn't really exist. And it's always, so if anyone is listening to this in 2030, send me a message and tell me just how much more the lines the lines are so blurred. You can't see the lines. They're gone.
Yeah. Fuck lines. What's a line?
Fuck line. Fuck the lines. Fuck the lot of them. Fuck lines, squares, circles, triangles, the whole fucking lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There'll be no podcast anymore. It'll be all like, we'll be like listening to stuff for a watch. Do you remember Spy Girls? And they used to have these watches, right? And then like the watch would like have this like holographic thing that would come up and you could like see people. I'm like,
yeah. That was literally just what came to mind when you says we won't even be listening to podcasts. It'll literally just be like, oh, do you know what it'll be? Do you know what it'll be? It'll be fucking, have you seen these smart glasses?
Yeah.
That's what it'll be. Yeah. I'll be walking around with my smart glasses and you'll be standing there in front of me, my right eye, and I'll have Google Maps and my left eye trying to find Starbucks around the corner.
Yeah.
Exactly what it's going to be. And Starbucks is only going to be an idea in these Google glasses. You're not even going to, like, you're just going to, I don't know where I'm going with this, but fuck it, I'm going to carry on. You're just going to have your mug and you're just going to go to like the Starbucks vendor. And it's going to be like in Grand Theft Auto where you just sort of do something and it's like, you know what I mean?
Or remember those, was it Grand Theft Auto or what program was it that like he had this like waistcoat or it was like a jumper and like the jumper would open out and it would be like just food. And then like it was like a suit he used to wear or something. I can't remember what it used to be, but he had like he'd put out his sleeve and then he'd press a button and like out from the sleeve there would just be like this coffee cup, this thing and like all this stuff.
Inspector Gadget.
Was it Inspector Gadget? I'm not sure.
I'm not too sure if it is. It sort of sounds, well, listen, if that happens, I would be the happiest person in the world. Because like, think about like, imagine back in like the 90s, right? What the world looked like according to people from, what the future looked like according to people of the 90s. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And now look at what it's like. It's not actually, like, apart from all the flying cars and fucking people going around.
It's not that far-fetched.
It's not that far-fetched. Mm. Like, part of my job is me sitting in my little shed here talking to people like you on my big telly. And that's, like, I always say this. If I said that to my ma growing up, that's what I'm going to do. That's going to be part of my job. There was no way I would have been allowed to play guitar or anything. Because you said there a minute ago about the 15, 16-year-old and your parents aren't really getting it right now. Think about what that was like 15 years ago when we had to try and explain this grand vision to our parents, where nowadays there's literally so many more opportunities for, there's literally, if you can think of it, you can be it.
Yeah.
If you can, like, my wife this morning was telling me that she went down a TikTok rabbit hole of watching people fitting toupees, like, you know, wigs. And I can guarantee you that whoever doing the toupees is making a fucking fortune. Not our toupees, not our toupees. But out of the millions of people that are subscribing to his OnlyFans.
Yeah.
or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Depends, yeah.
It's mental. Absolutely mental. You mentioned there at the start that. So let's move on a bit. So you were saying that you were in your own little music video and you were looking at the window being all melancholic, listening to Taylor Swift, and you would love to go back and tell 14-year-old Tara that literally all of her dreams are going to come true. Yeah. So you went on tour. How did you end up going on tour with Riverdance? You were gigging away. You were doing 6 nights a week. And where was the transition there?
So after I took the year out, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to college now and I'm going to study music, you know? Mm-hmm. So September came around, did the audition. I got in and that was grand. Started off happy days. I was like, right, this is my chance now. 4 years, I'm going to do music. You know, I'm going to be, you know. And then I got a phone call, and I tell this story so often, it feels like I've deja vu every time I tell it. But I thought it was a joke. Like, I didn't know. I didn't think it was real. Like, I thought it sounded really like one of the lads that I know. And I was answering it, like, really smart. It was like, hi, you know, this is from M Productions. And I was like, oh, yeah. And it was just like, yes, yeah, you know, we're looking for a new band for, you know, we're looking for Neil and Piper for the next upcoming UK Germany tour with Riverdance. And I was kind of like, oh, yeah. Trying to be all smart because I was like, there's going to be somebody taking a video just one call now and it'll be up somewhere and they'll be all like, ah. So anyways, the phone call went on. It was like, oh, okay, this is actually real, you know, and I remember. I didn't really want to ask, like, how did you get, like, you know, but anyway, I found out Kotlin again was, had given my number. So she had, but anyway, I was like, oh my God, like, is this actually happening? Like, and literally from that then, I got that call in, it was November 2015. Uh-huh. I wasn't allowed to say anything until January, but I had to tell the college. So the college knew.
Yeah.
But none of my friends knew. I wasn't allowed to talk about it to anybody until the contract was signed and until it was, you know, like 100% set in stone, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh God, okay. It was the hardest thing I had to keep. I mean, like,
I can imagine.
I was actually like, I was so elated. I was so excited. And like, I was just like, I can't believe. And then when I was allowed to tell people, it was like, oh,
that's good. Good for you. Yeah, well done. Well, hey.
No, as in everyone was really excited, but they were like what I was. 4 months previous to that.
Oh yeah, because you would work through it all. You're kind of like, oh yeah.
All, and I was just kind of focusing on learning all the music and all that. But anyway, it was amazing. I stayed with them then for 7 years. Well, 2020. Well, actually, do you know what? Pandemic happened 2020, but we were touring up until March, a week before St. Patrick's Day. We were in the States, and our last show was in Radio City Musical.
New York.
New York, yeah.
Class.
So we did 2 shows there and then everything shut down and we flew home. And then the next gig was August 2021.
Yeah, what, 18 months?
But but I mean, in between that time it was amazing. Like, I went to all over America, places. There's a really cool place in America called Wabash.
That's the noise that Chandler makes. Wabash.
Yeah. Oh, I love Chandler. I love Friends.
I'm so happy you said that. My bandmate, it hates Friends. And he's like, he's the same age as us. And I'm like, what is your problem? He's from Derry. And I'm like, go off.
Has he seen a good episode though?
Like, I don't know. So I don't know. He's very in touch with his inner snowflake, you see. That's probably horrendously offensive, but fuck it, I've said it now. He's really in touch with that side of things, so I could totally understand. No, I don't understand, but I can kind of get my head around why he would decide he just doesn't like it. But he's also, as I said, he's from Derry. Our band is called the Derry Girls, because I'm from Eden Derry. He's from Derry, and we started off with a fella from Derry.
So three of us.
And when we started, that was when Derry Girls started. So he says, fuck it, we'll call ourselves the Derry Girls. And he only finished watching the third series like last week. So he's a disaster. Callum, fucking sort yourself out.
Hello, Callum. I'm very in touch with my inner snowflake as well.
Yeah, as everybody should be. I'm sounding like a doddery old fella here now.
No, I know. My friend, you know what? That's me in The Office. I just couldn't get into The Office.
Oh, I've never tried.
Like, I've tried, and I'm just like, I'm sorry to any Office fans. I feel like it's something I need to give a chance to, because I haven't given it a chance.
Yeah. I think he's into that, actually. No, not now that I think of it. Yeah, no, I've never really tried with The Office.
I just need to be stimulated, and that's terrible. I need to watch.
Well, that's the name of the episode anyway. I need to be stimulated with Tara Howley. I tell you,
the episodes that I watch have to be funny.
I do, of course they do. There's no point otherwise.
Yeah.
There's no point otherwise. But
that's my OnlyFans.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's my plug.
There you go. You'd be like, yeah, exactly. You could be like Garen Noon. He's got a
OnlyFans. Yeah, I saw that. The two Johnny.
He's got an OnlyFans, but you could like literally just be there like quoting Father Ted.
Yeah. And, well, you all have lovely bottoms.
Of course they all. Of course, lads, you all have lovely bottoms. And you could work in a bit of Dumb Believables. You could work in a bit of Dumb Believables and stuff, and you could work in everything. And then yeah, there you go. That's your OnlyFans.
Multiple sources of income, you know.
You're welcome. Anyway, this is, I don't know if I've ever gotten off track more on a podcast episode. Do not be sorry in any way, shape, or form. I'm all down for talking about Garen Noon and OnlyFans. That's a little bit, I don't know. Anyway, so.
Have you something you want to tell us, sir?
I have never once. I've thought about joining OnlyFans just for the crack.
For the crack, I know. Do you know what? So have I genuinely have, like, for the absolute like fully clothed, just crack. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as in, like.
But that was what it was started for. I think it was started like for like musicians and creatives, and it just
turned into.
Yeah, because it was like OnlyFans and it was Patreon, and I don't know. Maybe Patreon were just kind of like. And then OnlyFans were like, yep.
OnlyFans were like, you want to do it?
Yeah, 100%. The less clothes, the better.
Yeah.
And I know which one I'd rather own right now over Patreon or OnlyFans. So, but anyway. I've often thought about starting for the crack. The only thing that's really put me off is the fact that, like, I teach children. And if parents saw that I had an OnlyFans, it just might not go down the right way. Even if I'm just like, no, it's literally just me talking shite about Father Ted. And do you know what I mean?
We just started joint with them.
Let's do it. That's what's going to happen. Sorry. You and I are going to join.
And it would all be just, you know, music-related jokes. And you can play the guitar at your feet. And I'm sure some people would love that.
I can play drums at my feet while I play guitar at the same time.
I can play the tin whistle with my nose.
Oh, that is a flex. Could you
I can do this.
There you go. Oh, that's so strange. I can do, can you do this? Right, watch, hang on. If I get a book. All right, so anchor that finger. Don't move it.
What?
And do that. Don't move that finger, and then freely do like that. See, I can only do it. I can like only this? Do it with part of, but like this finger has to be like all the fingers have to be like totally independent.
Okay.
Yeah, to be fair, you're doing a grand job of it. I can't really do it. Oh no, I can't actually. I can't do it with any.
Oh, I can do this. My hand is like really. My fingers are like really double jointed.
How are you doing? Am I doing it? I don't know how I'm doing. No, you're like. The knuckle is like this feels really strange.
This is our OnlyFans.
I was literally just gonna say, see, if you sat and done that on OnlyFans and charged £15 a month for it, you'd make a fucking fortune. There's someone out there. Absolutely. If anybody is watching this on YouTube, please let us know. Do you want us to do an OnlyFans of this? That could be the OnlyFans is you doing it in like
what really nice, really slow guitar music.
And like you could do your nails different colours. And what you could do is we could record it on Zoom, so you've got like exotic backgrounds.
And there could be different notes, so this could be like a.
Now, anybody out there thinking that OnlyFans is a piece of piss? That is going to take time and effort, but it's going to
be worth it.
This is happening. This is turning into like a business meeting.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Fucking great. It's absolutely great. So Riverdance. That's what you do. You do fucking the music from Riverdance on your little flicky finger. And in the background can be Michael Flatley giving a fucking nine. And then I'm doing the thing.
You're doing the fucking
yes.
Yes. This is meant to be. This isn't even coming together. It's already together.
This is ready. Yeah, we're aligned.
It's ready. We're aligned. This is great. So folk lines.
Oh, funny.
So when did you make the decision then that Riverdance just wasn't for you anymore? And why was it not for you anymore?
So I this time last year, exactly this month actually. I did my last week in Dubai with Riverdance. And I was very, 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 I knew it was the right decision to make because I haven't looked back, you know, and in the whole space of a year, there's not been one time when I was like, oh my God, they're all out in America. They're all out in San Francisco. Like they look like they're having a great time. I was literally the happiest that I've been mentally, physically. And I'm not saying that I wasn't because of being in the show, but I just think I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be anymore.
Totally.
And I just knew that I was, I suppose, I wasn't doing myself justice by not actually following what I was so scared to do, because it was like I was so petrified to take that step and to kind of, you know, and I knew once I made the decision that like I wasn't going to be like, oh, I just won't do this tour, I'll come back, you know. I was like, yeah. There's another Piper there that's going to be ready to commit like I did for 7 years or
yeah.
7 or 8 or 9 or 10. And I just like in my heart and soul, I was like, I was getting really sad because I knew the only thing holding me back was fear. Mm. Like I'd saved a lot. So I was, you know, financially, I was lucky that I had, you know, a lot of savings and I was kind of preparing for this for a while, to be honest. I just didn't have really the balls to do it and the guts to actually believe in myself enough to make that transition, you know.
Totally,
and
yeah.
it's a lot easier said than done, you know. But I knew, I'm glad that I waited until when I did, because I think the worst thing to have would be have regrets of like, oh, maybe I should have stayed, or this wasn't, I miss it, I, you know. And yeah, I miss my friends, but like the amount of music that I've written, the amount of songs that I've written, that I had written, that now I'm actually putting onto paper, you know.
Great.
And yeah, like it's honestly just, it was the best. I think it was the hardest, but definitely the best decision I think I've ever made in my life. And I know that sounds drastic, but it's true.
You know, I guess.
You know, it was amazing. It was an amazing part of my journey. But I feel like this is just, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. You know, and like I said earlier, of course, there's days where we're like,
oh yeah,
what am I doing?
I know.
But, you know, I quickly snap back out of that. It's like I turned to music for my job. I turned to music for my hobby. I turned to it for like fun and crack. And so I think, you know, and I've never gotten sick of it. And I don't think I ever will. You know, like when I'm writing songs, I feel like my songs are like my, it's like a diary, you know, it's like your personal diary. And I'm just so grateful that I get to do it as a full-time job. And you know, but as you said, then you can't switch off. So it's like a...
Well, nothing can be perfect. Nothing can be perfect. And look, if that's the worst that you have to sort of live with, I think we can all count ourselves lucky as long as that is the worst that we have to deal with. So, that's great. Too much of a good thing sometimes is such a thing. I totally know what you mean.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing with yourself since you it was Riverdance this time last year. So you've got 12 months to account for. Now, I know what you did with one of those days at least anyway. You were at Pints in the Field.
I was, yeah.
But for anyone that doesn't know what Pints in the Field is, it was a one-day festival arranged by the two Johnnies, who are the biggest podcast in Ireland. And it's literally just, it's the only podcast that I listen to, really. And it's just two lads. I'm desperate to get the two boys on, and I've been on to them before, and they've said they're going to come on. So here, Smax and Johnny B, if you're listening, fucking mop.
Hold on. I'll get a recording of that. I'll send it to them.
Please do, yes.
Right, this is a request. Go.
Right. Johnny Smax, Johnny B. I've been on to you on Patreon. I have supported you from day one. I've listened to every single podcast, some of them twice. And I really want you to come on my podcast. Here's Tara. And as you probably know, anyway. And please, 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 please come on to my podcast so I can just talk to you about some stuff and things. Your friend in podcasting, Barry, with 7 and 10.
Lovely. Happy to.
And yes, send that on to them. That'd be great. Grand job. So I'm going to leave that in. I might not leave that in. That might look a little bit sad, but
no.
Fuck it. It's all good. So how was Pints in the Field?
It was amazing.
Because it looked mental.
It was absolutely, from start to finish, like the whole thing was just ran like clockwork. Like,
yeah.
It ran like clockwork. Everyone was so happy. Everyone was so relaxed. The dressing rooms were full of food and drink, and the backstage area had so much stuff, like the night bath, sauna. A crisp wall. Like, how perfect. A crisp wall that had crisps with clothes pegs on it, and you could take the crisps off the wall.
That's class.
Like,
that's
absolutely. And I'm sorry, I like, grand all the fancy food of her. I'm like, no, I want crisps. I want ham and cheese sandwich. I want crisps. I want egg mayonnaise sandwich. Delicious. A few crisps. Cup of tea. Happy days.
Hard bet. Jeez, that just sounds just absolutely delightful. Mm. So that is the thing about the two Johnnies, is that for anyone that doesn't know, I really feel like I'm licking their arse here now, but they're such a unique thing, and they're such a great thing that all of the things that you thought would be class as a 12-year-old, they now do and don't really care.
It's kind of like,
do you remember that film, Get Him to the Greek, where you stroke the furry wall? That's what that crisp wall reminds me of, because why not?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's talk about, like, let's ask some actual real life practical questions for the aspiring musician out there. Mm-hmm. You've toured Riverdance. Mm-hmm. You've been a successful musician gigging. You've had an awful lot of success in your life, to the point where now you are actually really starting to make a name for yourself as Tara Howley, and you've got your band, and we're going to talk about that and all in a minute. Mm-hmm. But if you had to reverse engineer this, mm-hmm. for the 15, 16-year-old sitting at home whose man and dad don't want them to be a musician, or maybe kind of are sort of struggling a bit, could you reverse engineer and make what you've been through happen again, do you think? And if you could, how would you do it?
I would say, you know, I'm not a teacher, and I'm not knocking education or anything like that, but I do think everyone's education is different, and like, everyone learns differently. And like, I learned through music. I learned my essays through music. Like, I would sing to learn, you know, but what I mean by that is, if you find something that you're good at and that you're good at, you know, and you put in hard work, I genuinely believe, and this is a statement and I'm going to stand by it, if you work so hard at something, ever it is, if it's carpentry, if you're a plumber, if you're a writer, if you're a footballer, soccer, hurling, if you put that time in and you go, you still work on the hard days when you don't want to do it, and when you're sick of it, and when you're, you know, you're having fed up, which is okay to have. You can still love your job and feel fed up sometimes. Mm-hmm. You are going to be successful. It won't happen overnight. But like, if you put in that time and that effort, and you know, you can show your parents, you know, if they see work ethic, like, look, the majority of parents, and hopefully all parents, want what's best for their children and want them to have a job, and they want them to be secure, and they'll do anything, you know, to help them. So, you know, I wouldn't try to resent your parents for that. Like, you have to understand that they are brought up with beliefs that they had. I was lucky enough that my parents were quite liberal in the fact that they were, you know, I suppose, allowing me to do that. But they saw the work that I put in that year out that I took. It wasn't the year out sat home on my phone, you know, like, playing games. Like, I was working harder than some of my friends who were in college, because I knew, I was like, this is my chance now to actually prove myself as an adult that I can afford to, you know, pay my, you know, for the car and pay for my bills and be able to do my taxes and, you know, stuff like that. Like, that is instrumental in getting your feet on the ground, you know. And, you know, like I said, parents want what's best for their children. So I don't think it's something to be annoyed at your parents for if they don't understand. But if you work hard at something, like, and like, the cream of the crop always comes to the top, you know, like, it'll always, things will work out, and it mightn't happen straight away. And if you have to get another job in between that to pay the bills, if your passion that you believe in so much, if that's not paying your bills, you can get another job. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people who, you know, while they were studying music, let's say, they, you know, got a job to help pay their bills because, you know, and that's fine. That's not saying you don't believe in yourself. That's just being practical and realistic, you know?
Totally.
But you don't let go of that, you know. And I never let go of, you know, I never let go of the idea of,
you know, Riverdance came and it was a great, you know, it was a lucky break as well, you know, but it was a lucky break, but it was also something that I had worked for the last, you know, and I believe the year I took out really prepared me for any sort of situation, you know, because you're taking gigs, your own, you know, I was doing weddings up and down the country. I was literally Donegal to Cork weddings, gigs, corporate gigs. I was filling in. I was, you know, I was saying yes to everything and I loved it. You know, it was long days, long nights, and you're dealing with lots of different personalities. You like, you know, you work with a lot of different people and you learn that some people are quite nice and some people are not quite so nice. But, you know, I never let it change who I am, you know, and I think that's the most important thing as well that I would say, don't let situations change you.
Yeah.
Because that's when, you know, you have to know who you are as a person. And that's something I'm grateful for. You know, I had a good upbringing and like, I know, you know, regardless of how things may be perceived, and you don't have to be liked by everybody, but once you're a nice person and you do your job well and you're easy to get on with,
yeah,
I'll work with you.
Yeah, there you go. We are very aligned in our thinking in that case, because I'm exactly the same. Totally exactly the same. I never had any choice in what I was going to be. I was going to be a musician and that was it.
Yeah.
And like, even though I was told the whole way up through school, oh, you'll need something to fall back on.
Oh, that gives me.
Oh, and it took me until I was like 28 to realize that music was the thing that I always fell back on, because like I said, I've spoke about this in an infinite amount of times on the podcast, that I done loads of jobs, worked in social work and I worked with kids, and while I was good at some parts of the job, I was useless at everything else. I was useless at being told what to do, and I've just not made that way, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. And it took me until I was 28 to realize that music was all I could do. I could apply myself to anything to do with music. No problem. If it was music involved, I could apply myself. No bother at all. But I just don't have that part of my brain that tells me to just sit down, shut up, and do as you're told.
Oh no.
And it's and like you said, that's perfectly okay. So if any little 15, 16 year old, geez, I was fucking 6 foot when I was 15. But anyway, any young person out there listening, they might be discouraged by people telling you need something to fall back on and stuff. If you are meant to be a musician, if you're meant to be an OnlyFans creator, if you're meant to be a software developer, that is all you're ever going to be. And there's not a thing in the world you can ever do about it. No. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And that should be an encouraging thought, hopefully.
Yeah.
Great. So Tara, what is next for you then? I know you've got your Stepping Into the West tours company and all that. What's the crack with that?
So I have my own company. It's called Stepping Into the West Tours. And we bring people to Ireland on a 8-day trip around Clare, Cork and Kerry.
Lovely.
And basically we are the only father-daughter Irish run tour company.
Lovely.
Music tour company, I mean. And basically what we do is it's kind of like a cultural experience. And also the most rewarding thing is that we have Irish people booked into one, which was such a compliment, because I knew then that it wasn't just a case of like, oh, we're going to stop here and look at Leprechaun, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Because there's a lot of Irish people that would like to tour around Clare, and, you know, they chose us to bring them around, Dad and myself. And yeah, I love it. You know, it's a whole other, it's still part of the music, you know, it's still about like, to me, music is telling a story and sharing, basically your personality through notes is how I explain it. So it's the same with, you know, having a tour business, like except now you're actually telling the people with words and with scenery, you know? But yeah, it's amazing. The people that you meet, you end up becoming really good friends with them in the 8 days, and we teach them dancing. We teach them some lilting, and we teach them different instruments, and they kind of experience Ireland through Irish eyes. So, and without any of the cheese, because Ireland doesn't need that. Ireland's pure and as raw and as natural and sarcastic as you can get. And we just really like to highlight that. And that was one thing that I was like, if an Irish person books in, like, I'll be flipping delighted. And I am.
Yeah.
You know.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that you've hit the nail on the head, that we don't need all the cringe and all the cheese and all the manufactured plastic patty shite, because, like, do you know what I mean? Wherever you go in the world, you'll find an Irish pub. Do you know what I mean? There's a GAA club in fucking Singapore.
Yeah.
We are our greatest export, as Ronnie Drew said, and we don't need to ham it up, because we're class as it is.
Yeah.
And people like us for that, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Then, of course, there's stereotypes. It's like, you know, going to Texas and thinking everybody, you know, speaks like a cow. Like, there are, that is a big part of their culture. And that
it exists, yeah.
You know, and when I go to Texas, I do want to do that as well, you know.
Totally.
But there's a lot of stuff that, you know, like Texans will even tell you, like, they're very proud of their, you know, their, I'm just picking that because we've got a good few friends in Texas. But, like, it's the same with Ireland. Like, I'm very proud of our Irishness and our Irish music and our culture and our sport. But, like, it's not, it doesn't always have to be about just getting drunk and getting hammered in the pub. And, you know, like, unfortunately for a lot of musicians, alcohol actually hindered their careers because they were just paid by alcohol and a lot of them became alcoholics. So it's like, I want to show Ireland through its actual culture and history. And, like, you know, nothing wrong with going in having, you know, a couple of pints of Guinness and stuff. I'm not saying that, but I just mean it in a, you know, a lot of people just think, oh, the Irish all get drunk all the time. And it's like, no, we don't actually, you know.
No, we don't. We really don't. Yeah, I'm not too sure how much I help that stereotype living in Scotland. But I love when people say, it's like, wow, you're Irish. I've lived here for nearly 10 years.
Yeah, and you still have an Irish accent.
I still have an Irish accent. And I will do my absolute damnedest to make sure that never changes.
Yeah, well, it hasn't even changed in the slightest.
Well, I'm glad. Because I go into pubs I play in every week. And I went in there the other week and she was like, wow, you are Irish. And I was like, she was like, I really thought for ages you were just putting it on. And I was like, no. It's like, that's just me. Hello. How are you getting on?
Yeah. Well,
fine. How are you getting? Anyway, that's fantastic. I never knew such a thing existed out in the world. And I'm so happy to know that it now does. And if ever I've got a spare 8 days, I will be booking in with you because that just sounds delightful.
Oh, well, that means a lot. Thank you. And if you know anybody that would like to come to Ireland on a trip, we're rebranding and relaunching the whole thing now for 24 and 25. Because now that I'm off and I'm home, like I started it in 2018, but then I went back on tour at Riverdance and pandemic hit and it was all just like, it was all just kind of huddled and muddled, but now, like, we've got a great very excited. Yeah, there's a lot.
Lovely.
There's a lot happening.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck with it. Okay. What else are you working on now, music wise? What's the next thing for you?
So I have two albums. I am doing an album at the moment, so I'll be ready in December.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second album is my big collaboration album, which is, I'm not gonna put a date on that yet because so when I left Riverdance last year, I did a Kickstarter and to fund my album. And the response I got from that was just honestly very like my, you know, I was very apprehensive. And I know that an Irish thing, but like, I feel like if you do something for charity in Ireland, everyone will be really happy to donate even what they don't have. And I was very anxious to promote this Kickstarter because I knew my American and Canadian followers, they don't see it as like, I feel like Irish people saw it as, so what, we're just giving you money to make a CD. And I'm like, no, you're getting something back from it. So if you pledge €10, like, you're going to get a digital download of that for free. Well, for free. Yep. You're paying for it.
You're pre-buying something.
You're pre-buying the album. And then I remember I was in Dubai when I launched it. And I was just about to go on stage because of the time difference. I wanted to have it up in the evening time. And I remember I put it up and I'll tell you this story offline, but but anyway, no, I'll tell you the good part of the story. You're like, saucy. I was very lucky to have very, you know, supportive people who were really encouraging, you know, and I feel like if there's anybody that isn't very supportive, you literally just have to get rid of them out of your life because, you know, they're not, if they don't understand what you're doing and they don't support you, they're not really your friends.
They're not your people.
No. And I was very lucky. I was so blessed that my friends and family and people supported. And look, I know people obviously had their own opinions on it and that's fine. You know, that's their business. Mm-hmm. But I would always recommend people, if they want to do a Kickstarter, like, put yourself out there, and the people that want to pre-buy your album will buy it, you know. And it's not big in Ireland, you know. I feel like it's not like a GoFundMe where they're just giving money and they're like, well, what are you going to spend it on? I'm like, well, literally the cost of the album is so much more than, I think what people don't understand is like there's so much involved. And the album I want to do is I have two, so I went over my target, so I'm lucky enough to be able to pay for two albums out of that. So the first album is mainly kind of trad based, dad singing a couple of songs on it. I'm playing Boston instruments, and then the collaboration album that'll be launched next year is like class. So every track is every track bar two has somebody on it, and so, yeah, some of the guests are pretty cool. I'm not allowed to talk about two of them. But I'm like,
do both of them have the same first name? No, I'm joking. I'm going to sound like an absolute fucking weirdo fanboy.
No, I'll tell you before, once I'm allowed to say it.
Okay.
Just for, the publicity and stuff like that. It's just going to be.
Totally.
Be something exciting. I am one of those people like, hey guys, exciting news coming. And you're like,
that is fucking. Well, that's class. I've yet to come to a point in my life where I'm not allowed to talk about something. Because that's like on my bucket list. I want to be involved in something that's like, it's like top secret. You have to like sign an NDA, or like you can lose everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, that's what I want.
Or NDAs are kind of scary though, because
I can imagine.
I did a gig once, and it was like, I was like, oh my god, this will be so good, like so much good for my career. And it was like NDA, and I was like, no. So I can never talk about it, like ever. Like what about 50 years? And they were like, they didn't see the humor in my email.
No.
Our
crack very seldom does. Tommy Tiernan put it the best I've ever heard. It's like, if you were up in heaven before you were born and you were given a menu of like where you want to be from in the world, and you wanted the least amount of effort with the most amount of crack, do you know what I mean? You'd choose Ireland or Mexico. And so that lives in my head, and I hear it from Tommy's mouth on a daily basis in my head. And I just thank me lucky stars, you know what I mean? But yeah, we don't translate that well. We export very well.
Oh, we're brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Not brilliant.
We're great crack.
Brilliant.
But just
brilliant. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Million, a million, a million. No, it's a million.
Million.
A million.
Brilliant.
That was a brilliant show that was on there now.
Brilliant.
That has a million hits on YouTube.
On the YouTubes. Oh, Jesus. Tara, I could sit here and talk to you forevermore, but neither of us have time to do that and all that jazz. So what we'll do is, let's head into a quick fire round.
Okay.
As I said at the start, this is not going to be very, very fucking
let's
quick.
Let's go.
But we're going to do our best. I'm going to limit it to three questions. And because we've covered so much crack already. So these are just fun questions just for the crack, and then we'll finish up.
Okay, go.
What is one skill you wish you had?
I could fly.
You could fly. Why? Where are you going to?
I just think it'd be really cool if you want to go into like Ennis Diamond to get milk, if you just fly there.
You can tell you live in the middle of fucking nowhere. See, I've got a shop across the road. I've got a co-op and a Marks and Spencer.
Well, like, expect that. No.
Like 20 steps away.
Well, no, I can get milk up the village. Milk was a bad thing to say, but like you could get like...
Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah, milk is a bad choice. But like if you wanted to get like a roll.
Ah, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Totally. Totally get you. What is your favorite app on your phone?
The Canva app.
Oh, do you use the app? I can't get my head. I was only trying to do something on Canva.
I've done all my posters.
On your phone?
Promo, everything on my phone.
Ooh, well done.
Yeah.
Jesus. You should go on Fiverr and rent out that service. I'll do everything on my phone. You make a fortune.
Yeah.
Never mind OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Well, you could do it on top of OnlyFans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how you'd promote your OnlyFans, by doing posters.
OnlyFans love the on top.
No. No, yo. Right, and finally, this is my favorite. I know I'm living that. It's fucking
live it off.
That is literally going to be the name of it.
Thumbnail.
No, it's definitely. It's like the OnlyFans loves it on top with Tara Howley.
No, please, no.
No, not at all, not at all. Right, and then one last question: what is your dog's name?
Saoirse,
of course it is. Tell us about Saoirse.
My baby girl, baby Saoirse. So Saoirse is a Bernese Mountain Dog from Carlow.
Okay, from Carlow.
Yeah, and she has loved my life, and I love her so much. And, you know, you can follow me if you want, but, like, I'm not nearly as cool as my dog, and she has an Instagram page, and she just deserves all the follows. So I probably should be promoting myself and selling myself, but I'm like, but my dog. If you want to support me, follow my dog, because that will bring me more joy than you following me, honestly.
Well, Saoirse could start... I'm not going to say an OnlyFans because it's a bit strange, but like some sort of like...
She could.
Some sort of like paywall, create content, a Patreon.
Yeah, a Patreon.
Whoa. Did we just become best friends?
It was like our brains were like... Oh. Yeah.
Do you want to come to my garden and play karate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'll bring snacks.
Yes. That you're going to pay for out of the Patreon.
Out of Saoirse's Patreon.
So much. Like, that's like those, you see those memes where it's like, it's Vince McMahon, and he's like, whoa. And in his face, every picture's like, whoa. That's what that was. Oh, fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Tara, you're an absolute star and a delight. And it's been my pleasure to talk to you this morning. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Thanks.
Before we let you go,
yeah.
Where can everyone find you and Saoirse? By the way, is she called Saoirse because of Saoirse Ronan?
No, she's called Saoirse because I wanted to call my first kid Saoirse. I've always loved the name Saoirse. But I'd say she is my first kid, kind of, technically. She's my first baby.
Yeah, there you go. That's the one. I think Saoirse Ronan's from Carlow, isn't she?
Is she?
Maybe not. I always had it in my head. Huh?
Is she Wicklow?
Well, you seem to know better. You probably know her. So
don't know her, no.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, well, Saoirse, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
I'll ask Paul if I know her or not, if where she's from. I don't know him either.
I thought you said Paul Mescal there. I was like, no. He's nothing to do with music, but I'd love to chat to him.
I know.
He's
like a funny guy.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, Tara, where can we find you and Saoirse?
So my Instagram is Tara Howley Music. My Facebook is also Tara Howley Music. My YouTube is Tara Howley. And Saoirse's Instagram is Saoirse_the_Bernese.
I'm going to go and follow Saoirse. And everyone else should do the same.
That was the Music Career Show. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends about the Music Career Show.